Hi guys, and welcome to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. I'm Casey Hyman. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about something cat-related. We'll cover the various breeds, safety and health topics, and those quirky habits that make our cats so hilariously unique, as well as how to correct problem behaviors. This week, you'll learn how to keep your kitty safe when the weather turns cold. We'll discuss tips to help keep her warm, how to ensure her safety around winter-related chemicals, and ways you can help feral colonies survive in the snow. I'm grateful to you, my listeners, because you allow me to do what I love. So let me know how I'm doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Kitten Caboodle Pod and Twitter at Kitten K Pod. You can also find the show on YouTube. Just do a search for The Whole Kitten Caboodle. If you enjoy today's episode, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. It may seem trivial, but it really does help. If you'd like to monetarily support the show and local shelters, you can do so on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod. You can also make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviors.com/mystory. Should you encounter a behavior problem with your cat that requires my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviors.com. You'll find my rates on the consultation page, as well as an informational packet outlining behavior basics that you can download for a small fee. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can listen to The Whole Kit and Caboodle on most major podcast directories. As a person who lives in a state where the winter air sometimes hurts my face, I know how much it sucks to be outside when it's cold. Or inside an old house when the heating system goes kaput. Some of you listening may not have to worry about your kitties experiencing winter weather, but the rest of us need to take steps to ensure their safety in addition to our own when the temperature drops. Some people believe outdoor cats can manage just fine on their own in the winter. That's true to an extent, but they could always use some help. Surviving outside is one thing. Staying healthy and strong is something entirely different. Experts agree that outdoor temperatures can become dangerous for our kitties when the mercury drops below freezing, 32 Fahrenheit or 0 Celsius. At this point, cats can experience the same kinds of health hazards we do, like hypothermia and frostbite. Indoor cats could encounter issues at any temp under 45 Fahrenheit or 7 Celsius. Yes, cats grow thick coats and put on a little weight to help them guard against the cold, but they can only do so much on their own. That's where we come in. I'm going to tell you about some things that you can do to help our feral friends and keep your own kitty safe. If you can afford to do a lot to help outdoor cats, that's great. But just remember, even if you're only able to offer a regular supply of food, you're still making things much easier for the animals that have to live outside. So I guess the most obvious piece of advice is to keep your cat indoors, preferably for as long as it's cold, but at least overnight. Whether that means bringing them into the house or making sure they have access to a barn or shed, it's best for your kitty to have a place to be out of the weather. With ferals, of course, this generally is impossible, but you might be surprised at how they'll adapt to what you can give them. Me, personally, I have an old shed out in the back of the property where I put homemade shelters inside for them to sleep in. We also have a broken window to the basement we never got around to fixing, and now we leave it alone because some of the ferals like to climb inside. We don't use the basement much anyway, so I've placed beds for them down there too. If you want to support feral and stray cats but don't have a shelter for them, you can make one. I have several of these littered around my property, and every single one of them gets used. There are several ways to make one, but the easiest and cheapest method is to just use a tote, a styrofoam cooler, and straw. Google the phrase, make a feral cat shelter, and click on the first video by Colin Marmalade. The video contains links to more substantial ways to build a shelter, but regardless, your neighborhood ferals will thank you either way. Just whatever you do, do not put blankets, towels, or an actual cat bed inside the shelter. The material will get wet when a cat comes in from the snow and sleeps in it, and that water could refreeze. This can lead to serious health complications for the kitty, and she could freeze too. Straw retains heat and repels water. It might seem scratchy and a poor choice, but it's actually the best option for the animals. Also, don't worry about making it very large. A small shelter box will help the cat retain heat more easily, and kitties generally aren't worried about being in cramped spaces. A larger shelter will cause the heat put out by the cat's body to dissipate, and she won't be able to stay as warm. It only needs to be big enough for her to stand up and turn around inside. Now, if you have access to electricity outside, you can find heated cat shelters on Chewy. They're a little pricey, but if you can afford it, it's quick and guaranteed to keep outdoor cats safe and warm throughout the winter season. Some cats may need help understanding that these spaces are safe spots for them to sleep. So if you see no sign of anyone using their shelters, sprinkle some catnip or treats inside and by the entrance. If this doesn't work, try to figure out where they do prefer to hang out. You can try moving the shelter there, or you can just make the area more comfortable by adding straw bedding for them to sleep on. The next step is to set up a feeding station, or several, maybe, if you care for community cats. It might seem easier to just put the food and water in their shelters, but that's not the best idea. Cats won't sleep near food, so they avoid confrontation with other animals, so place these feeding stations at least a short distance away from their sleeping spots. If possible, heated bowls are best for water dishes and canned food to keep them from freezing. If that's not possible, plastic is better than stainless steel. Food and water won't freeze as quickly in plastic, and it'll be easier to remove the ice. Always keep dry food available, and refresh feeding stations daily. If you don't have a porch or lean-to to place the feeding station under, you'll want to throw together some sort of cover. It's easier to have everything covered than to try to remember to move everything when the snow flies. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. A large covered plastic tote with a hole cut out for the entrance will suffice. I've discovered that large totes with enough space for the cats inside are more popular, as these let them get out of the elements while they eat. A few more random tips to make things safer for outdoor cats. Bang your fist on your car before you start it, especially on the hood. Cats love to hide in engine compartments when it's cold, and they could get hurt, or worse, if they're in there when the engine turns over. Bang everywhere else on your car, too. Check wheel wells under the vehicle and behind the tires before you go anywhere. For most cats, walking around the car and banging your fist as you go is enough to scare them off. But make sure to listen after making noise to listen for an animal that's stuck or a hidden litter of kittens. Always check that your vehicle isn't leaking antifreeze. My cousin lost a cat to antifreeze poisoning, and it isn't pretty. A few cats will seek it out if they smell it, but most often they ingest it when they walk through it and then lick themselves clean afterwards. The chemical quickly affects the kidneys, usually within the hour. If you see signs of antifreeze poisoning, such as acting drunk, lethargy, vomiting, seizures, or a coma, for most cats it's already too late. It's better to take steps to avoid the risk altogether. If you get a lot of snow, shovel paths around your property. My dad thought I was nuts for doing this, but when we get more than a few inches of snow, I noticed it was hard for the community cats to move around and get to their feeding stations. So I shoveled paths where I knew they walked most often. Sure enough, they used those paths. Doing this will also help prevent frostbite in their toes and hypothermia because they won't be forced to wade their way through the snow. On that note, be careful what you use to de-ice your sidewalk. Those chemicals can be dangerous for animals too, because they can cause chemical burns on their paws. Straight rock salt isn't a good idea either, as that could lead to sodium poisoning if they ingest enough of it. But there are some de-icing brands specifically designed to be safe for pets. Every area is different in what's available, so do your research. SafePaw is generally considered the best brand if you can get it. For your own outdoor pet, supervise and minimize time spent outside. Perhaps your kitty likes to play in the snow, but in this sense they're just like kids. You need to tell them when it's time to come inside so they don't risk frostbite or hypothermia. Don't assume that if she wants to be outdoors, she'll be fine. If she complains about being kept inside, add some environmental enrichment to distract her attention from the front door. So now that we've talked about how to ease outdoor living for cats during the winter, what do you do if your cats are strictly indoors and the power goes out? We'll address how to keep your pets safe in such a scenario in the second half of the episode. Hi listeners, Casey here. I want to take a minute to let you know about another way that you guys can help support me and the work that I do: podcast memberships. While I'm open to relevant sponsorships, I prefer to keep this podcast ad-free while also keeping it free to listen. Unfortunately, running a podcast is not free, and neither is hosting a website. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can sign up for a monthly or yearly podcast membership. Members will get 2 extra episodes every month. Sometimes it'll be stories about my kitties, member stories, or cat-related news I find while perusing the internet. You'll also get exclusive access for a members-only Discord, where you can chat with me and with each other, and access to my private cat videos on TikTok. And while I keep rough episode transcripts available for free to improve accessibility, members can download cleaned-up versions, kind of like a mini-info packet for that particular topic. Membership costs only $7.99 a month, about the cost of most streaming services these days, or $95.88 for a full year. To join up, hop over to my website, positiveCatitudeBehaviors.com, and click on the membership tab. Payment is handled through PayPal for added security, and at no point do I have access to your payment information. Thanks so much for the support, everyone. Now, let's get back to the episode. Most of us have experienced power outages in the summertime when a thunderstorm knocks out an electrical line. Losing power to your home is even more hazardous during winter months, especially if the temperatures are colder than normal or when electricity won't be restored for several days. I recently saw a Facebook post where someone asked about this very situation. She didn't know what to do with her cat when she lost power and wondered if her pet would be all right until heat was restored to the home. I don't know what she ultimately decided to do, but in her case, it would have been okay to set the cat up with food, water, and a litter box, and come back to check on him a couple of times a day. Temps in the house were only getting down to the high 50s. Granted, that's chilly, but not dangerous. But what if a winter storm just rolled through, and temperatures dip into the single digits, or even below zero? An outdoor animal accustomed to those temps could make do, although they would appreciate some assistance, as we've already discussed. But a cat who has lived its entire life indoors is almost guaranteed to experience dangerous health problems if left at the house. So, what do you do? If the outage is going to last a long time, it's best to find a pet-friendly hotel, a boarding facility, or a friend or family member willing to take the cat until you can go home. Find a place that has heat and keep your cat with you there. Being in the cold for a few hours is uncomfortable, but doable. A few days can be life-threatening. Thankfully, most outages only last a few hours. In these cases, there are certain things you should, and should not, do. It might be tempting to light candles or find alternative methods to warm the house. Don't do it. Candles can start fires, and the fumes aren't safe for cats. And appliances like grills or tabletop burners produce carbon monoxide that can cause poisoning for everybody in short order. There are a number of better alternatives. Propane heaters. These can save lives during a power outage in a deep freeze. They cover up to 250 square feet and safe to use indoors. Hand warmers. You should have some of these in an emergency kit in your car at least. They heat up quickly, require no electricity, and provide up to 18 hours of heat. Besides thawing out your fingers and toes, you can tuck them under a blanket in your cat's bed. Emergency blankets. They're specifically designed to keep you warm, so grab a few before you need them and have them handy in the cold months. As for lighting, most smartphones have flashlights these days, so keep your device charged ahead of time just in case you need it. Otherwise, regular flashlights, battery-powered lanterns, and headlights all work great. If you can afford to invest in one, a generator is the all-time best way to be prepared for a power outage in any type of weather. There are several different types and sizes, and all of them carry a different price tag, so you'll have to hunt around a bit to find the one that works best for you. Ask the folks at your local store for guidance and recommendations. What about foods and medications that need to be refrigerated? Well, always keep at least a week's worth of supplies handy for both you and your pets. You'll both need extra calories to stay warm, and you don't want to switch foods on them during an already stressful time. Since the fridge won't be usable, get your hands on a cooler and a few bags of ice. It'll suffice until the power comes back on. You'll also want to keep plenty of extra water on hand, at least half a dozen gallon jugs minimum. Several larger jugs would be better to ensure everyone has what they need, and you don't have to pay out the nose for a basic necessity. If your kitty doesn't seem interested in water, as she may not be due to stress, add a little treat like bone broth to the water to encourage her to drink. Don't forget to bring out your kitty's toys. Humans get anxious during stressful times when we have nothing to occupy our minds, and our pets are no different. Not only will it help your cat to calm down, it'll give you something to focus on too, and help pass the time. Playtime will also help wear your pet down and make her tired enough that she'll sleep off much of the time you spend without power. Most importantly, remember to keep an eye out for hypothermia and frostbite, in both you and your cat. Bring out the extra blankets and coats to minimize the chances. And if your kitty wants to bury herself next to you under the blanket, let her. Snuggling is the best way to keep each other warm, and honestly, who can say no to a snuggle session from a cat? You'll know your kitty is experiencing hypothermia if she shows signs of difficulty breathing, weakness, shivering, cold skin, loss of consciousness, stiff, rigid muscles, low heart rate, low breathing rate, lethargy, and dilated pupils. Frostbite shows up usually in extremities by way of discoloration of skin in the affected area, usually looks pale gray or bluish, cold to the touch, pain when touched, swelling in the affected areas, blisters or skin ulcers, and blackened or dead skin in severe cases. If you notice any of these at any time, it's extremely important to warm your kitty up. Get her wrapped up in a blanket or in your jacket, and keep her there for a while. If you have to, turn the heater on in your car, load her up in her carrier, and sit with her in the vehicle until she warms up. Don't warm her up super fast, that could cause more problems than it solves. Warm her up at a more natural pace, and don't rub or massage the affected areas if she's frostbitten. Cold weather can present a unique safety threat for our kitties. Some hazards simply can't be avoided, but we can prepare ahead of time to ensure their safety as well as ours. Thanks for listening to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. You can find more episodes of the show on most major podcast directories, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and others. If you enjoyed listening, be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me out more than you know. If you'd like to support the show, feel free to get in touch via social media. Don't forget to follow on Facebook and Instagram at Kit and Caboodle Pod, Twitter at Kit and K-Pod, and YouTube at The Whole Kit and Caboodle. Don't forget, you can also support me on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod and make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviorist.com/mystory. If you require my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviorist.com, on the consultation services page. You can also sign up for podcast membership via the membership tab. I'll see y'all next time.